Thank you all for coming. It's really it's a great honor for me to be here tonight, and in particular to review some of these halachos, the halachos of halachos during Nida. Effectively for men, most of what we have to know in Hilchos Nida is what we're doing tonight. So if we could cover most of what we have to know in 45 minutes, that's not so bad. And that's basically what we'll try to do. The topic of harchakos is really very wide-ranging, and one of the interesting things to note about harchakos is some of the Mefarshim comment that the reason why Chazal instituted these precautionary measures so that we should not come to violate Isra Nida is precisely because there's a kula within Hilchos Nida that doesn't apply in other areas of halacha. In other words, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin and elsewhere in Sota that there's no prohibition of yichud with your wife when she's a nida. Ordinarily, there's a prohibition of yichud with any woman who's an erva on you. Any person with whom I can't have a relationship in a permitted sort of way. So there's an iser of yichud. And yichud is an iser d'oraisa. That's based on the pasuk of l'sikrivu l'galos erva. That's the consensus opinion. So what's interesting to note is that despite the fact that according to the overwhelming majority of Rishonim, Rabbi Nutam has this exception, but despite the fact that according to the overwhelming majority of Rishonim, the iser of Nida is also an erva, nonetheless, you're allowed to have yichud with your wife when she's a nida. You're allowed to be secluded with her. And various reasons are given. Either we're not worried that a person is going to violate the iser because it's pas basalo, because you've already had bia with your wife and you're not that anxious, you're not that excited about having bia again, or else there's a famous line in the Piskei HaRosh where the Rosh says that the reason why Chazal are meko on the iser of yichud with your wife when she's a nida is because it's eifshar b'inyan acher. There's nothing else that you could do. Right? What, you're gonna live in a different home, you're going to move out when your wife is a nida? That could be very inconvenient. It happens, I believe, in some Ethiopian communities. That was the practice, that when the women were nidos, they would have a separate, like, nida home that they would move into, but that could get kind of expensive in Woodmere. And the fact is, and that's not what we do. So the halacha is that you're allowed to have yichud with your wife when she's a nida. So precisely because we're in such close proximity, so that's why Chazal were worried that we might come to violate the Isser, because we have this kula of yichud. So as such, they decided to institute the harchakos with Ishtel Nida. As such, they decided to institute certain precautionary measures that we shouldn't come to go too far, we shouldn't come to violate the Avera, because we're already in such close proximity. For this reason, there's a comment in the back of the Gemara. Reb Elazar Moshe Hurwitz has comments in the back of various Masechtas and Shas, so the back of Masechta Shabbos on Daf Yud Aleph. He has a comment and he says, you know what, if the dinim of harchakos are instituted because you might have bia with your wife when she's a nida because there's a heter of yichud, so if you have a situation when you can't have yichud with your wife, so memela, there's going to be no harchakos with your wife. Just like most poskim assume, and even as a simin chaf aleph, that there's no harchakos with any woman who I'm not married to. I'm allowed to pass stuff to the cashier, etc. Right? Even though it's a nida, she's a married woman, how am I allowed to do that? Because we're not worried, since there's no heter yichud. So in a situation when there's no heter yichud with your wife, so as such, there's going to be no iser of harchakos. This comes up in the famous Gemara at the beginning of Ksubis, of Kala Shapirsa Ishtel Nida. No? Let's say it's a chuppas nida. Let's say the wife is a nida at the marriage. So in that situation, there's no heter yichud, because there's no heter yichud, so memela, there's no iser of harchakos. So that's the introduction to harchakos. It happens that Chazal are very strict with harchakos. Ordinarily in Shas, we have rules. I remember Rabbi Kalish in 11th grade. I grew up in this area. I went to Yeshiva Harakwe. Remember in 11th grade, Rabbi Kalish used to tell us that he doesn't think that there's any real iser of making a gezerah like gezerah. He thinks that you go through Shas and you see all the time that Chazal institute decree upon decree, etc. There are gezeres and gezeres all the time. That was what he tried to convince us of. I'm still not convinced. Generally speaking, we don't make gezeres and gezeres. And we see by harchakos of Nida that sometimes there are gezeres and gezeres, no? I'm not allowed to touch my wife when she's a Nida. Consequently, I can't pass something to her. Consequently, I can't even throw something to her. No? Doesn't that sound like what we would say in English word that sounds like Yiddish far-fetched? Right? It really sounds like, what's going on here? You know, why can't you do this? So it seems that there are gezeres like gezeres that are instituted in Hilchos Nida. Maybe this is because, since it's a heter yichud, so Chazal felt that we have to go further with gezeros than we go elsewhere. Alternatively, we could suggest something along these lines. That there is a concept that Rabbi Yosef Engel has, famously. Rabbi Yosef Engel develops the idea that there's something called the Siyag Da'iraisa. Usually we think about how a siyag, a precautionary measure, is a din d'rabbanan. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole essay where he tries to develop the idea that sometimes there are siyagim which are da'oraisa. It seems that when we have a siyag da'oraisa, when the Torah says, don't do this because it might lead to X, and they're both dinim d'oraisa, so that would mean that the Torah is telling me, you know what, be really careful. This is the type of thing that you might really violate. And since the Torah says, lo sikrivu legalos erva, so as such, what the Torah is telling us is, you know what, you might come close, you might violate it, therefore stay away, therefore even make gezeres like gezeres. That is the second introduction I wanted to make in terms of harchakos. So let's begin to learn. What are some of the harchakos? So the famous harchakos come up in different areas. There's harchakos in terms of the way we speak. There are harchakos that says in Shulchan Aruch, the meaning of Kuf Tzadi Hei, that a person has to separate from his wife while she's Temeya Achatisbar Vetitbol until she counts Shiva Nikiyam and goes to the mikvah. The poskim say that even if she is during Yimei Libuna, still the harchakos apply when she's bleeding, harchakos apply during the 7 clean days. Even if it's past the 7 clean days, she hasn't yet gone to the mikvah, harchakos still apply. This is standard approach. There are certain dinim that are minhagim in Hilchos Nida that only apply while the woman is bleeding, don't apply while she's counting 7 clean days. It don't apply after the 7 clean days before she goes to mikvah. For example, there's a practice of women, I don't think we really have this in our communities anymore, but Norchayim Simen Peches is a practice of women not going to shul when they're in Nida. That's only when she's actually bleeding. There's a practice, many people in my shul, and my balabatim are very nervous about this question. I get this question probably 5 times a year. I'm in Nida, am I allowed to go to a cemetery? Or I'm pregnant, am I allowed to go to a cemetery? Right? Do people ask this shayla? That's a shayla all the time. No? If you're an Ishas Kohen, maybe there's a shayla when you're pregnant, if you're allowed to go to a cemetery. But there is a minig not to go to a cemetery when you're in Nida, but that's only when you're bleeding. But all the dinim of Nida apply, the real halachos, not the minhagim, apply until you go to the mikvah. And the first harchaka that comes up in Shulchan Aruch is, lo yiskok v'lo yoko rosh ima afilo bedvarim. You're not supposed to have skok and kalos rosh. Now, this is like one of the hardest things in Judaism, no? You can't tell jokes. That would be, like, awful. You can't, like, joke around. For me, that I can never not joke around. Like, what's going on? Like, so it happens that there is a debate among poskim what exactly this means. The consensus view, I think, now when I say over the consensus view, what I mean is the tradition that I have from my Rebbeim in Yeshiva Sabina Yitzchak Ochanan, the tradition. A lot of this is in Rabbi Sabalovsky. You're going to hear from him in a few weeks. Rabbi Sabalovsky's very fine book on Hilchos Nida. This is a consensus in, I would say, our modern Orthodox communities. Obviously, there are different Rabbanim who have different shitos, and if cases any In case there's anything that I'm saying that sounds weird to you, so b'vakasha, please ask your rabbis what they say. These are just my understanding of the things. But lo yischok lo yafarash ima means that you shouldn't have the type of dibur that leads to schok v'kalas roach, which means frivolity. Or, the way the Shach understands it, it means a type of dibur that's margel la'erva. That effectively is the type of verbal foreplay. You know, there's a way of warming your wife up. There's a way of trying to cajole her. A way of trying to convince her to have relations with you. That is the real isser of dibur. The real isser is not to tell jokes. The real isser is not to play games. There's one sefer in Hilchos Nida who doesn't have such creativity. He says, oh, lo yischok, there's an isser to play games, and he can't imagine what type of games are there. So he says, oh, you can't play dreidel with your wife when she's in nida, because that's the only game he could imagine, no? I could probably imagine more games. Presumably, playing Twister is more along this isser rather than playing dreidel. That's the way we'll say it. So we're talking about schok and kalas rosh. Now, there is a tradition out there that is found in some svarim that's not our tradition. There are certain svarim, the Hagos Shari Dura, like Rishon from Ashkenaz, Hagos Shari Dura understands that the lo yischok lo yokoroshim afilu bitzvarim means that there's an isser to swife when she's anida. In the sense of you can only say the bare minimum. Don't say, please pass the salt, say salt. Right? You should speak the bare minimum to your wife when she's anida. Some try to understand that the Gra understands this way. Also, the Gra over here quotes from the Avos de Reb Nosson that the Isser is Devarim Betalim. But Devarim Betalim might not mean saying too many words. Devarim Betalim might mean the type of frivolous speech like we were referring to beforehand. It's not abundantly clear what the Gra means. But Hagor Shari Dura is quoted. The Hagor Shari Dura assumes that there's an Isser to speak to your wife when she's anida. You can't speak a lot with her. Salt. Now, they base this on Psukim. The Pasuk says, Ne'alamti dumiya hechashesi, and that is Rashi Tevis Nida. Ne'alamti dumiya hechashesi nun dalet. Hey, that stands for Nida, and therefore you shouldn't talk to your wife a lot when she's a Nida. Rav Wozner points out in his Shiur Shevet HaLevi that he thinks that this tradition comes from the tradition of Hasidei Ashkenaz, who wanted to have an absolute distance between you and your wife when she's in Nida. There's a tradition, the Sefer Rakeach, and among other Hasidei Ashkenaz, that when your wife is in Nida, you should not come too close to her, and says you shouldn't even walk in the same footsteps where she walks. You shouldn't even, there's like some tumah, as it were, on the footsteps. In Sif Yud, later on in Shulchan Aruch, we're going to see that kol malachos she'isha osala bailo nida osalo, that all malachos that a wife is supposed to do for her husband, nida is also allowed to do. But the Shulah HaKadosh quotes that shomer narsho yirchak mizeh, that a person should distance himself. That ideally, when your wife is anida, you should keep complete distance, stay very far away. And Rav Wozner comments that this is the same tradition of the Hasidei Ashkenaz, but this is a tradition that we don't have. Rabbi Shai Shechter's grandfather, Rav Melech Shechter, Zichrono Livracha, when he was in Cheder in Europe, and the Rebbe explained the pasuk She'era Ksusa Ve'onosa Lo Yigra. So what does the word Ona mean? So we know what Ona means. Ona means that you're supposed to be intimate with your wife. But when you're a little boy in Cheder, that's not the way the Rebbe is going to translate Ona. So the Rebbe translated Ona, that Ona means that you should spend time with your wife. She'erek susava onosa lo yigra, that you should spend time with your wife. And the tradition that we have in yeshiva, what Rav Shai Shechter's father says, Rav Herschel Shechter says over from his father, is that this mitzvah of onosa lo yigra even applies when your wife is anida. We do not follow this tradition of Hasidei Ashkenaz at all. We don't follow this tradition that you should keep an absolute distance. Adarabba, when your wife is anida, sometimes that's an opportunity to spend a different type of quality time with your wife, and it can be very positive. We assume in that sense Ona still applies, and all of these traditions of not speaking a lot to your wife when she's in Nida, I'm fairly confident that this is not our Masorah. Okay, let's go weiter. Some of the halachos of Harchot, by the way, if anyone has questions, please interrupt. And I'm just trying to get through a lot of material, so please, yeah. Can you speak louder? Speak about what? A few days before. So we'll talk about that probably in later shiurim. I wasn't planning on getting to that. Those issues are the issues of Ona. There is some discussion over here in the Pesachei Tshuva and the Chamudei Daniel that maybe some of the harchakos apply during Ona HaSamach Levesta, during the time period when she's expecting her period. The consensus among Achreinim is not like that. And the general rule that we have, I should point out, there seems to be a fundamental machlokas between the Krasi Uplasi, the Rebbe Reb Yonson Eibshitz, and the Sidrei Tahara. The Sidrei Tahara is like the classic work on Hilchos Nida. Sidrei Tahara basically, whenever he has a shailon in Yonim of Harchakos, Sidrei Tahara says that Kol ha poresh mizeh kadoshi omer lo. Whenever there's a question, the Sidrei Tahara says be machmir. The Krasi Uplasi follows in the halach that when you have a shaila about harchakos, since the whole issue is derabbanon, so you should be meko in the shaila. I remember years ago I had an exchange, you know, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz here from Woodmere, so his brother, Rabbi Avi Leibowitz, was my chavrusa. So I had an exchange with Rabbi Avi Leibowitz about this Krasi Uplasi and the versus the Sidrei Tahara. I think our Masorah is that we follow the Krasi Uplasi. One of the nafkaminas is, am I allowed to give my wife a gift when she's in Nida? Am I allowed to bring flowers for Shabbos? Or some other gift? It's her birthday and she's in Nida. You're allowed to give her a gift? So the Sidrei Tahara says he doesn't think you should, because he thinks that Kol HaPoresh Kadoshi Omer Lo, you want to keep additional distance. The Krasi Uplasi says absolutely you're allowed to. Why not? Right? It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. We're learning Harchakos more along the lines of the Krasi Uplasi, which means that those specific things that it says in Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't do, those are what you shouldn't do. But the things that it doesn't say, we're not going to say, go and separate yourself. There is a whole work out there to try to come up with, like Mechadish Betuvo Chumra B'chol Yom Tamid. Some people try to come up with additional Harchakos every day. I don't think that's our tradition. Our tradition is that we want to keep the dinim as it says in Shulchan Aruch, and beyond that, we assume, like Rav Shechter quotes from his father, Rav Melech Shechter, that there's a din of Ona in terms of spending time, in terms of establishing a connection, even Be'es Nidusa. That's the approach that I take when I teach Chasanim, and that's the approach I'm taking over here. One of the dinim with Harchakos is, we mentioned this in passing beforehand, that there's an iser of lo yigaba afilu be'etzba ketana, that you're not allowed to touch your wife when she's in Nida. There's an iser negia. All high school boys hate this one, right? There's an iser of negia. And then it also says, beyond that, lo yoshet mi yado lo yado shum davar, that you shouldn't hand anything to her and you shouldn't receive anything that she hands you. Tosfos in Shabbos and Daf Yud Gimel quotes that Rashi was nizhar to not be Moshe to Maftayach. Rashi was very careful that when his wife was in Nida, he wouldn't hand her a ring because this din of Lo Yoshet. And the Achronim say even if it's something that is very long, it is also, even if it's a very long stick, for example, I can't hand it to my wife when she's in Nida. And additionally, the Ramo over here adds, and I believe this is a Ramo, some of the Ramos in Harchakos are not accepted by Sfaradim, others are. This one, I believe, is accepted by Sfaradim, at least by Chacham Ovad Yosef. He accepts it that lo yiz, b'chein ha'idei zrika miyado liyado lahepach zosa, I shouldn't throw stuff to my wife. That's also part of the Harchakos. And the question is, what's the reason for this? So there are two different reasons that are found in Poskim. The Tshuvas HaRashba assumes that the reason for not handing stuff and the extension to not throwing is because it leads to Kiruv Hadas. Right? One of the concerns with the Harchakos are here to make sure that we don't become too intimate. We don't want Kiruv Hadas. We don't want to come too close together. And therefore, I shouldn't throw stuff, I shouldn't hand stuff, because that would lead to Kiruv Hadas. The other mahalach, though, is much simpler, which is that the reason I shouldn't hand something to my wife, even if it's a very long item, is simply because of a chashash of negiah. you might come to touch her. And the Rashba, though, is saying, apparently, that he doesn't think that the chashash of negiya applies when I'm throwing something to her. That's not really reasonable. I throw to you, why would that be chashash negiya? Therefore, the Rashba says that there's an additional concern, not only that might come to negiya, there's an additional concern of kirav hadas. Based on this, I think we can explain some interesting shitos. What I'm trying to suggest is as follows, that maybe when I hand something to my wife, there are two aspects. There is kirav hadas, and there's also a chashash that I might come to negiya. But if I throw something, I think there is only going to be a concern of kirav hadas, there's no chashash of negiya. This might explain the famous Maharil. You know, there's a case, we referenced it very briefly before, called Chuppas Nida. If the Kala happens to be a Nida, under the Chuppos, there's a whole discussion in the poskim about how do you give her the ring. What do you do? Our standard practice is that you give it to her normally, because you're not married yet, no? You give it to her normally. But the Maharil is quoted in the Ber Hativ in Ibn Ezra Simon Samach Aleph, that what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to just hold the ring over her hand and drop it into her hand. That's what the Maharil says. And everyone and their uncle jumps up and down and they spit wooden nickels. They say, what's going on over here? What do you accomplish? Lamaisa, there's an Isser of, if there's an Isser, you can't hand something to her. I can't throw stuff to her either. So what do I accomplish if I drop the ring? So I would suggest that maybe the pshat is like this, that because throwing or dropping a ring is only a chashash based of kirav hadas, it's not a chashash of real negiya. So in the situation when she's not my wife yet, so Mimela, there's probably no kirav hadas. There's no kirav hadas, and therefore, it's going to be mutter. This actually is an idea that I found in the Tshuvas of Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis. Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis was the Rav in Lviv. I think he was nifter the same, or a year or two after the telephone was invented. Whatever that's worth. But Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis, in his Tshuvas, discusses the case that, Baruch Hashem, I've never gotten the Shaila, but am I allowed to give my wife a get when she's a nida? Because you can't hand something to her. Right? So this is a shaila that Yitzchak Shmelkis was very worried about. So eventually he comes up, he says, it's mutter, just like I could be mekadosh her normally because she's not my wife yet, I can give her the get normally because at the end of the process, she's not going to be my wife anymore. That is basic cheshbon. But in the middle of this tshuva, Yitzchak Shmelkis has a whole discussion, and he says, you know what, maybe since the minig is, Agos Maimoni quotes that we try to give a get in the presence of a minion, so therefore maybe it's done completely in public and there's no chashash of real kirav hadas in these situations. And therefore maybe it should be mutter. But he says, no, it can't be mutter because handing the get to her is still going to be an isser that you might touch her. That's basically what Rav Yitzchak Shmelkis says. Just give me 1 second and I'll take your question. Based on this, we can explain the practice of some Sephardi poskim. One of the shailas that comes up often, I get the shaila probably 3-4 times a year, is my wife and I were invited to be a kvater at a bris. You know, the people who bring the baby in. My wife is in need, so what do we do? What do you do in that situation? You can't hand, right, something to your wife when she's Anita. So what do you do with the kvater situation? So Yitzchak Shmelkis quotes many in the bottom of the Chidah's Sefer, the Shiurei Bracha, the Pa'asodcha has this idea as well, that maybe the practice should be that if you have two pillows, it's going to be okay. I think this is what's done in our, I don't know what Rabbi Schechter, what you do here in Woodmere, but I think this is done in many communities, that when you're in Nida, you don't have the baby on just one pillow, you have the baby on two different pillows. What does that help? What does that help? So it might help something along the lines of the following, that what we're suggesting is that because a bris is also done berabim, so there's no concern of kirav hadas. Whatever happens out in the public, there's no real issue that it's going to become intimate. We're bifnei am ve'eda. It's not going to become intimate. There's still a chashash negiya. So to solve the chashash negiya by having a second pillow, that is an additional barrier, and that's an additional reminder, and therefore there won't be a chashash negiya. That might be the pshat in this practice, this Sephardi practice that I think we have in many different communities based on the shtickle that we're saying. You had a question a minute ago?
Yeah, I was just now regarding worried about a toddler, passing a toddler, if they reach out to you?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about passing a baby in like, or a toddler in like 3 minutes, right? But the baby at the bris generally is not a toddler. Generally, we do the bris on the baby when they can't move at all. So the heter that some of the poskim quote of Chayinos Yisatul certainly doesn't apply. Now, yeah.
Is Negiya a harshaka or is it a halakha?
So Negiya sheyesh bo chiba is a real iser d'oraisa. Negiya that's not derech chiba is probably a harshaka b'ishtel nida. This is my understanding of the last shach in the siman. The Shach famously argues on the Beis Yosef, and the Shach is accepted by halacha. The Shach assumes that Negiya Shelo B'Derechiba is Aser Midrabbanon B'Ishtel Nida. But Negiya Shelo B'Derechiba is going to be Heter Gomor if it's not my wife. For example, I'm allowed to shake. I think, again, this is the consensus opinion of my Rebbeim, is that in a business situation, I'm allowed to shake hands, no? Because that's Negiya Shelo B'Derechiba. That's Heter Gomor. But I'm not allowed to shake hands with my wife when she's a Nida. Right? The reason for that is because B'Ishto, we're concerned that even these types of touches, Shelo B'Derechiba, might potentially lead to greater intimacy. That's why it's forbidden. Again, this is my understanding of the Shach. Fine. Now, right, so that's why we gave the introduction about Gezerah LeGezerah, etc. Right, that's the reasoning. Now, Reb Moshe Feinstein has an interesting shuva in Chelak Beis Simin Ayin Zayin. Reb Moshe asks, maybe I could be makel on Harchakos when I'm in public because there's an issue of Kavod Habrios. Because you're at a meal, and after the meal, everyone is helping their wife put her coat on. That's considered derech eretz. And you're not helping your wife put on her coat. So that could be very embarrassing, that all the neighbors are going to know that your wife is a nida, and she'll be embarrassed. And maybe you could be makel because kavod habrios can override isurim derabbanon. And over here, it's only an iser derabbanon, so maybe it should be permitted. Now, what Reb Moshe suggests, which I think is very interesting, is that there's no din of kavod habrios at all when you're a nida. Zakt Reb Moshe, so you're a nida. Every woman's a nida at some point. What's there to be embarrassed about? Kavod habrios, Reb Moshe explains, is something that applies to me, and I'm different than others. There's something unique about me. But if there's a condition that all women have, so Moshe says that is not the type of condition about which we say kavod habrios. By the way, this is very similar to the discussion that Rabbi Yitzchak Shmokas had about harchakos in public. Rabbi Yitzchak Shmokas is only willing to be makel on harchakos in public if there's no chashash negiya, and if it's a type of thing that's always done in public. Kvater at a bris is always done in public. Handing a get is always done in public. The ring also, getting married, is always done in public, because you're supposed to have a minion in all these cases. But something like putting a coat on could be done in public, could be done in private, so Reb Yitzchak Shmokas is not willing to be makel. Reb Moshe says, oh, maybe you could be makel based on kavod habrios. Like Reb Moshe, no, he doesn't think that kavod habrios applies in these cases, because kavod habrios is when there's something about an individual, not something that applies to a category of people. Ad kan divrei Reb Moshe. Just to editorialize for 45 seconds, this is actually what Professor Sperber, one of the things that Professor Sperber is getting wrong, no? There was a whole movement a number of years ago, still going on, to give women alleles. And the argument goes that the reason why you shouldn't give a woman aliyah, that Maris says, is because it's not kavod hatzibur. So Professor Sperber argued, but what do you mean? People get offended that they can't get aliyahs. It's a violation of kavod habrias. And kavod habrias is a more powerful concept in halacha than kavod hatzibur. That's what Professor Sperber argues. It seems that Reb Moshe would never say that, because you can't say that there's something that's a violation of my kavod habrias if it's a condition that applies to half of the human population. That's not kavod habrias. No? Reb Moshe is saying that kavod habrios is only something that applies to me as an individual, but something that applies to a category of people is not included in kavod habrios, so similarly, this also should not be included. Fine. Now, you asked a few minutes ago about passing a baby to your wife when she's a nida, passing a toddler. So the Piskei Tshuva quotes in the Tashbeit that we can apply the rule of chaynos yesatzmo, the rule that live bodies carry themselves, and as such, there's no issur d'oraisa of carrying on Shabbos. So therefore, it's going to be mutter. Now, this is very hard. Chayinos yisatzmo l'chaor is a category that's only true in Hilchos Shabbos. L'chaor, it's not true in a concern that I might come to touch. It's very difficult. But listen, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Tashbeit, and it is quoted in some poskim, so it's here. But this will not help for little babies, no? Most Rishonim assume, against the Taisus in Shabbos, most Rishonim assume that the Rukhai no Seis Atzmo only applies when the baby is somewhat mobile. You have a tiny baby, an infant, so the baby's not mobile at all, so there's no din of Rukhai no Seis Atzmo. So, L'cha'ora, it's very difficult. There's no kula. L'cha'ora, there's no kula. It's very hard. And Rav Wozner points out that even the kula of the Tashbeit, of Rukhai no Seis Atzmo, only makes sense if you assume that zrika, that throwing, is going to be permitted. But since Ashkenazi psak is that I'm not allowed to throw something to my wife when she's in nida, that zrika is going to be aser, so therefore there can't be a kula of chai no seis atzmo. This is one of the difficult questions. So what do you do about passing a baby to your wife when she's in nida? So there is a kula that Rav Mordechai Willig has. Rabbi Willig Shlita has the following idea, which I think is accepted in many communities. Rabbi Willig says that if the baby, you need to pass the baby, so he says in many cases it's going to be mutter. Because Halacha tells me that children, this is in Or Chaim, in Hilchos Shabbos, we paskin that little children have the status of a chola she'en bo sakana. They're ill. It's not clear until what age. Poskim consider a child to be a chola she'en bo sakana. Minchas Yitzchak says until the age of 8 or 9. Other poskim are mekel only until the age of 5, 6. But the fact is, a little baby for sure in halach considered a chola she'en bo sakana. So therefore, Rabbi Willig says, since the whole iser of passing is an iser d'rabbanan, so we could be mekel on passing a baby, let's zorech the tinok, because the tinok has a din of a chola she'en bo sakana. For chola she'en bo sakana, you're allowed to pass. That's Rabbi Willig's argument. Now, it seems to me that we shouldn't abuse this kula. I'm allowed to violate an iser l'tzorech l'chola if it's l'tzorech l'chola. Sometimes I have the baby, and even though the baby's like only 8, 10, 12 pounds, but after you've been holding the baby for 3 hours, walking back and forth and back and forth, the 8, 10, 12 pound baby becomes very heavy. You know the second you're going to put the baby down, the baby's going to scream, right? I don't know how many of you have ever had this experience, but I don't think I'm the only one, right? You know, the second you're going to put the baby down, it's going to be, right? So you don't want to put that baby down. So what do you do? So it seems to me that Rabbi Willig's kula would not apply in these situations. Because in that situation, when the reason why I'm putting the baby down is not l'tzorech the baby. If the baby is crying and I can't comfort the baby, I want to hand the baby to my wife, then the kula applies, because that's l'tzorech the baby. But if I'm handing the baby off because I'm tired, that's l'tzorech me, not l'tzorech the baby, and I don't know if the kula of Rabbi Willig applies. I should mention one of the kula that I omitted a minute ago. We discussed the case of harchakos, whether they apply in public. Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger, at the back of the Rabbi Sabalowski book in Hilchos Nida, notes that maybe yesh lahalos al shulchan malachim, maybe you should allow the rabbis to discuss that perhaps, since the harchuk of not passing something to your wife, like we mentioned, Taisus and Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel quotes it that Rashi had this practice. It's not something that's found in the Gemara. It's only a practice of Rashi. So maybe in a situation when a person, because of their tznius, is really very worried about being known that they are going to be a nida, so maybe in that situation you can be makel to pass. That is what Rabbi Neuberger suggests. This is something that you have to discuss with your rabbonim, whether to accept this kula or not. Even Rabbi Neuberger does not firmly accept it. He just raises it as a possible kula. Another issue that comes up, just want to give, I like giving kulas. I don't know, this is why it's fun. But another issue that comes up in the Achronim is the following question. We mentioned that you're not allowed to throw something to your wife when she's in Nida. So the Frisha asks a question. It says later on in Shulchan Aruch that when your wife is in Nida, you're not supposed to pour water to wash there to give them a bath. She shouldn't pour water on you to give you a bath. You shouldn't pour water on her, etc. Even if you're not touching, that's going to be a problem. So they ask Akasha, why do you need this iser? Is there a din that I can't throw something to my wife? So throwing the water, right, again, you have to be a little bit warped to think of this, but throwing the water should be no worse than throwing something. So that's the question that the Prisha asks. So the Shach, based on this question, says that he thinks that the case of bathing doesn't mean that you're sitting in the bathtub and they're pouring water on you. Rather, it means that you fill the bathtub ahead of time. Based on this, many poskim assume, Reb Fiva Cohen has, that when your wife is in Nida, and we pass in Shulchan Aruch that you shouldn't be rochets pan of yodah v'raglav, so even though the standard practice is that, like, after you wash the tilas yadayim, you just fill up the cup for the next person, maybe when your wife is in Nida, you shouldn't do that for her. She shouldn't do it for you. I happen to think that that is permitted. I wrote a letter to Reb Fiva that I think pan of yodah v'raglav, if you read the source of the Igeres HaTshuva Rabbeinu Yonah, he's saying all three of them together, not each one on their own, but there is certainly a discussion in Poskim about whether it's permitted to say, honey, turn on the shower for me, right? Or for me to turn on the shower for her, because that would be rechitza, that I'm setting up the water for them, and according to the Shach, that's the case. However, the Taz has a different case, has a different understanding of this case of bathing. The Taz says that you know why it's permitted to pour the water on your wife when she's in Nida, or for her to pour the water on you when she's in Nida? The reason why it's permitted, says the Taz, is it's not direct touching. It's negiya yidei davar acher. You're taking the water and you're pouring the water with a cup. And because you're pouring the water with a cup, so therefore, it's not my hand touching that item. Zerika is only when my hand touches item, I throw it to her. When I have something, like one of those games, the kids' games, that, like, you throw, that you have something like that, that would not be the concern of Zerika, according to this Taz. As such, is a big kula, that the Taz is really makel, that you're allowed to do Zerika when you're wearing gloves. Right, this is a very big kula that would emerge from this Taz. You're allowed to do Zerika when you're wearing gloves. It happens that Chacham Ovadia saves the Chronal of Racha in the Taras Abayis. Chacham Ovadia likes this kula of wearing gloves. Obviously, we try not to abuse it, but in difficult situations, let's say your wife is sick or something, or a situation when you have to help give her shots. So most poskim assume that in difficult, again, you have to discuss with your rabbanim, but most difficult situations like this, poskim are mekel, that al yedei the wearing of gloves, it could be okay. There's a Tosis in Sota, where Tosis discusses that maybe there's no full-fledged isser of negiyah when you're wearing gloves, and that's along the lines of this Taz. Chacham Ovadia is mekel to carry a stroller up the, if you live in a walk-up building, and you don't have an elevator. That's the definition of walk-up building. So you're allowed to carry the stroller up together with your wife, and she's a nida if one of you is wearing gloves. That's Chacham Ovadia's kula. The Tzitz Elias got very upset about this, but it is certainly a kula that might be worth applying. It happens that Rabbi Forst, in one, Rabbi Forst's two volumes on Hilchos Nida, has like everything and their uncle. It's like everything is there. It's unbelievable. So Rabbi Forst, in one of the footnotes, comments that he thinks that maybe if you're make on wearing gloves, it has to be like a significant pair of gloves, but surgical gloves don't help because you could feel the warmth of the body through the surgical gloves. I have to admit, I don't really understand that svara, but Rabbi Forst does have that at one place in his sefer. Let's just continue with our discussion. We discussed the harchakos of not throwing stuff, not touching. There are also harchakos that involve not eating. Now, in the harchakos of not eating, the Mishnah in Shabbos says, "Lo yocha hazavim hazava," that you're not supposed to eat together. Is it the machlokes Rambam and Ravid? Does that mean don't eat on the same plate? Or does it mean not eat at the same table? And Shulchan Aruch Machmir, that you shouldn't eat on the same table with your wife when she's in Nida, unless you have a hecker. You need something on the table to remind you that your wife is in Nida. This is really something that I think is very understandable. When we date, we go out to restaurants. Eating together can be an intimate type of act, and having a reminder there is helpful to make sure that I don't end up violating Isurim of that I don't end up violating the Isurim of Nida. Now, we have another case in Shulchan Aruch where Hecker comes up as well, and that's a case of when I'm eating meat and you're eating milk at the same table. If we know each other, I also need a Hecker, I need a reminder. The question is, are these dinim one and the same, or are these dinim somewhat different? The Sidri Tahara has two opinions over here. One opinion of the Sidri Tahara is that these dinim are exactly the same. And when I should not eat with my wife when she's in Nida, the real reason for this din is just like if I'm eating milk and you're eating meat, I'm worried that I might reach pardon me, reach out and eat some of your cheese sandwich while I'm eating salami, so therefore I need the heker. Similarly, when my wife is in nida, the halacha is I'm not supposed to eat her food. She's not supposed to eat my food. So therefore, the heker is to make sure that I don't eat her food. That's one mahalach in the Sidrei Torah. The other mahalach in the Sidrei Torah is that the idea over here is very different. The idea over here is that eating together is intimate, and the heker reminds us that this is not intimate. It seems to me that there's a number of nafkaminas between this. The Taz writes in Hilchos Basar B'cholov that the heker has to be something that's gavoa k'tas. It has to be somewhat tall. I can't just take a ring off my hand and put it on the table as a heker. The heker has to have a certain degree of height. That's what the Taz quotes in Basar B'cholov. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in Emes LeYaakov, he thinks that the heker has to be a tefach tall. Has to have, a tefach is what, 3 inches or so. That's the height of the heker. It seems that perhaps this would be true by Basar B'cholov, but not by Nida. Right, the standard practice, I think, is that by Nida, that the traditional heker I used to use is I would take my cell phone out and put it on the table, and now I'm at a stage in life that my cell phone is always on the table, so you need to come up with something else. Or actually, it's probably better to not put the cell phone on your table when you're eating, but that's a different conversation. The fact is that one could argue that the heker by Basar B'cholov is supposed to be a barrier, that I shouldn't eat your food. But the heker by Nida is there to remind me, it's a mental reminder, that this is not an intimate meal. This is the type of meal that's not going to lead to Kirav Hadas. It's not going to bring us closer together. So therefore, any reminder suffices. There's a machlokas between Rav Wozner Zichron Levrach and Rav Nissen Karelitz about, does the heker have to be something that you both know about, or is the heker something that only the husband has to know about? Rav Nissen Karelitz says it's enough if only the husband knows about it. And Rav Wozner thinks that they both have to know about it. It might be that this is totally in the same issue. If the concern is that I might come to eat your food and she might come to eat my food, so we both have to know about it. But if the concern is intimate, that the heker is to make sure this is not an intimate meal, so those types of issues are generally focused more on the man than on the woman. Generally, the man is more likely to get worked up and to get excited. So the heker has to be something he knows about, but it could be that the heker does not have to be something that she knows about. It would seem to me that these issues are dependent. Another issue that comes up is the Piskei Tshuv over here quotes from the Tshuvas Masas Binyamin that if you're eating with B'nai Beisa, if you're eating with family members, so you don't need a heker on the table. That, I think, fits in very nicely if we understand that it is a concern of intimacy. Trust me, no meal that you're eating with all of your kids around is really intimate. Not much I figured out once we had at least one kid, no? It's a duffer pashat. The fact is, an intimate meal is the two of you. Once you have B'nai Beisa, it's not intimate. But if the concern is I might eat her food and she might eat my food, so even though B'nai Beisa are around, so one could argue that you need a heker. For this reason, I saw there's a very fine work on Hilchos Basar B'cholov and Hilchos Nida called the Megillah Sefer. Rabbi Uriel Eisenthal, a very, very excellent Sefer. So in the Megillah Sefer, he raises a question. He says, I understand why the Masas Binyamin quotes the Kula of B'nai Beso over here in Hilchos Nida, but how come the Piskei Tshuva refers to that same Masas Binyamin in Hilchos Basar B'cholov? By Basar B'cholov, it's not an issue of intimacy. Basar B'cholov is a barrier type of thing, that I shouldn't eat your meat and you shouldn't eat my cheese. If that's the case, so the fact that B'nai Beso are around won't help. And in fact, the Megillah Sefer comments that if you read the Masas Binyamin inside, the Masas Binyamin is not Mekal by Basar B'cholov. The Masas Binyamin is only Mekal on this Harchaka in Hilchos Nida, not in Basar B'cholov. There is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, maybe we'll just do two or three more. There's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch that I'm not supposed to drink from a cup that she drank when she's in Nida. It's not clear exactly what the makar for this is. The Bir Hagra quotes that he thinks the source of not drinking from her cup is the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Yud Gimel Mabez. The Gemara tells a story about a certain fellow who was like a wonderful Jew. He did everything right, and he died very young. So his wife like walks down the base med. She says, how come my husband died young? So they decide to ask her, how did he act with you when you were Anida? So in the context of Gemara, she says, lo achal imi, v'lo shasa imi, we didn't eat together, we didn't drink together, etc. right? And we slept in the same bed, right? We slept in the same bed. No, excuse me. The Gemara says, "Achalimi v'shasimi," and we slept in the same bed, but we were both wearing clothing, etc. So the Gemara comments, "Baruch hamakom shaharago." It was good that he was killed. You get an impression of the Gra that he did all these things wrong, that he wasn't supposed to eat with her. He wasn't supposed to drink with her. And this is the reason. Not drinking together, Zak the Gra, means that you shouldn't even drink her leftovers. Because drinking her leftovers is like drinking with her. The Sidra Torah explains that eating together, you could eat from the same plate at the same time. You each have your own fork, you eat from the same plate. But drinking, two people can't really drink from the same cup at the same time. Apparently the Sidra Torah didn't know there was an invention called straws. Now, if you have a straw, you could both drink from the same cup at the same time. But he doesn't think that's the normal way that people drank. And therefore, drinking after she drank is the same as drinking with her, and that would be asar. For some reason, in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin, and it's hard to understand exactly why, that she's allowed to drink your leftovers. You can't drink her leftovers. This, of course, is relevant for one of the big discussions in the postgame, is what do you do about making Kiddush Friday night when your wife is a Nida? Not only is there concern that you shouldn't drink her leftovers, that's not so hard. You make Kiddush, and she could drink your leftovers. That's okay. This only works, of course, if your wife doesn't think you have the cooties. If you have the cooties, then this won't help. But there's another concern, though, later on in Shulchan Aruch, that I'm not supposed to be Mishager Lakos. I can't send her a cup when she's in Nida. That also is considered Derechiba, to send a cup to your wife when she's in Nida is also considered an act of intimacy, and therefore that is going to be a problem. So what do you do about making Kiddush? I'm not allowed to pour a cup for her. Mezigas HaKos is Aser. By Yayin, we paskin, even if it's right, by Yayin, we're very machmir. The Rashba assumes that this sister Mezikas HaKos only applies to Yayin, so even if she turns around for a second, it won't help by Yayin. So what do you do? How do you give her the Kiddush? You can't pour it for her, and you can't send it to her. So what do you do about Kiddush? So some poskim assume that what you could do is you can make Kiddush, and then you could pour a few different cups, and your wife will choose one of them, and that's not going to be a problem. Because so, I mean, generally speaking, you should drink first because, but she's allowed to drink your leftovers. She's allowed to drink your leftovers. So I can make Kiddush, I'll drink, right? Or I'll make Kiddush, I'll pour myself a teeny bit, I'll drink that little bit, then I'll pour a few other cups, and she'll choose one cup. I'm not pouring directly for her because I'm pouring a few cups. Right? That is one cheshbon. Reb Chaim Kohen in the Badei HaShulchan thinks that this is not permitted. Because he says, ultimately, you're pouring a cup for her. The fact that you don't know if it's A, B, or Q doesn't matter. L'maisa, you poured a cup for her. So he assumes it's aser. Rabbi Forst writes in his Sefer in Hilchos Nida that he says, it's not compelling. His argument, Rabbi Forst says tremendous derech eretz, Reb Chaim Kohen. He won't say that he disagrees. He just says it's not compelling. He doesn't think that the reasoning really holds water. It happens that there's a better mahalach, I think, which is what the Rishonim used to do. And if I'm not mistaken, Rav Herschel Schachter still does this in his home, which is that when you have a bunch of guests over, if you don't have a bunch of guests, you have a number of different wines. And not everyone in the world likes Moscato. There are some people who actually like wine, a chiddush, right? So now, what you could do is you have a number of different wines on the table, and everyone fills up their own cup, and then you make kiddush, and it goes on all the cups around the table. That's what Tosfos writes in Brachos, is the older practice of how people used to make kiddush. And that practice solves all the problems. No, I'm not pouring a cup for her, I'm not sending a cup for her, etc. That solves all the problems. So that's another issue that's worth focusing on. There is a bit of a discussion about harchakos in the bedroom. Harchakos in the bedroom, obviously, you're supposed to have two separate beds when she's in the... Yeah?
Quick question, back to the Kiddush. Is the requirement to drink the wine anyway? I mean, isn't sort of there's a practice in shul where someone will make Kiddush and then you have a mezonot? You know, you're not even drinking wine per se.
So, technically speaking, it could be you don't have to drink the wine at Kiddush. It could be Shabbos morning is different than Friday night. Reb Volvo Soloveitchik has a famous idea that Kiddush Shabbos morning is supposed to drink the wine more than Kiddush Friday night. That's Reb Volvo's Kiddush. But it could be technically you don't have to drink the wine, but many people like to drink the wine.
Right. Because of this
Right. Because of this, you could technically solve the problem if you don't drink wine, but people want to drink wine.
So it's not that the solution is the final
problem. Right. So I think that's one solution. The other solution, I think, is if you pour a number of cups, so that's also not pouring for her. I think that also works.
You can also just say Kiddush, finish, and then she takes your cup.
You could do it like that, if she assumes that you don't have the cooties. If you have cooties, so that doesn't work. That's right. That works.
Can you pour yourself?
What?
Can't you pour yourself a cup?
I could pour...
She takes the Kiddush cup and pour it to your cup.
Right, that would be the same thing, but I can't move it towards her, because that would be sending it to her. I can make it and just put it down, and then she takes it. And that also works. So the shach assumes that doesn't help. The shach writes that the din of a cup that she drank from, even if you add additional wine, it doesn't help. Some achrenim say that maybe additional wine doesn't help, but if you add a different beverage, it will help. Because they say that maybe the cheshon the shach is that we pass in other parts of your day that davar sheyesh lamatirin is not going to be bottled. Something that's going to be mutter later on won't be bottled. At some point, you won't be a nida. It'll be mutter later on. So it's davar sheyesh lamatirin. But davar sheyesh lamatirin is bottled min b'she'en omino. It's bottled with something of a different type. So. Well, no, this cup is going to be mutter once she goes to the mikvah. Just wait a week.
Right.
It happens that you're allowed to drink her leftovers if she walks out of the room, if she's not there, right? We should point that out.
Clearing the table
but, so, right, when you're clearing the table, you're allowed to drink her leftovers. That's not going to be a problem. The Piskei Teshuva discusses, let's say she walks out of the room, you start to drink, then she comes back in. Right? Do you have to, it's like the Mishnayos and Trumas, right? You're eating truma and you find out that you're tummy, you have to spit it out. It's not like a satanoyim, so some make this connection. You can have a lot of fun with harchakos if you try to do it.
If you're a very close family and then you drink, and then your kids drink, and then she drinks, and then it keeps going around the table and somebody else drinks in between, you can still drink.
So that's a discussion. I think the achronim are meiko if it is. I'm not sending it to her. I drink and I pass it to my son and it goes right around and around, so that would be okay. Right, anachonami, that could work.
And then you can still drink when it comes back to you.
Yeah.
Somebody else drank.
If there's someone who's mafsik between, I can't drink her cup unless someone drank from her cup in between her and me. That's correct. That could work. Fine. Should we discuss some harchakos in the bedroom or people getting tired? 5 more minutes, Rabbi Shechter? Okay. So there are harchakos in the dining room that we mentioned, and there's also harchakos in the bedroom. Harchakos in the bedroom, obviously not sleeping the same bed is a concern. The Ramo Paskins, you shouldn't even have the two beds touch each other. There's a suffix that Reb Fivel Cohen has. I once had this issue. We were staying somewhere and they put us on the bunk bed. So the question is, right, is that considered that the beds are touching? Again, you have to think about it like from a different perspective, but the beds might be touching. And I think the consensus of Poskim is that the reason that the bed should not touch is it appears like it's mita achas. It appears like it's the same bed. If it's a bunk bed, no one, it doesn't look like it's the same bed, right? One's on top, one's on bottom. So I think that is going to be permitted, even though there is a suffix in the Badei HaShulchan. There's a discussion, Machlokes in the Shach and the Taz, is that... Or let's say it like this. So the beds should be separated when she's in Nida. How far do the beds have to be separated? It's not really clear. The Darkei Teshuva quotes that the beds should be separated far enough that the linen won't touch each other in the middle of the night. There's no reason to push the beds very far apart, but as long as the linen doesn't touch in the middle of the night, that is going to be okay. Another din that applies, another hachaka that...
So when I told my father, he thought that was a good enough pecker that you keep one down.
One is down and one is up. The same type of thing as...
Even though the linings might be touching, he said it's good enough.
In other words, the whole issue is that it shouldn't look like mita achas. The same type of idea. Okay, very good.
Shkoyach. You're willing to say that you should be in arm's length away.
I'm not familiar.
All over, you know.
It could be. I haven't heard it, but that doesn't mean it's not true. I have not heard that. Fine. There's another aspect that I'm not supposed to lie down on her bed when she's a nida. We pass in, there's a machlokes shach and taz, Does that mean I shouldn't only lie on her bed? What about sitting on her bed? She is not supposed to lie on my bed. What about sitting on my bed? Also, these are discussions in the poskim. The Taz assumes that all of these Isurim apply to sitting on the bed, not only to lying on the bed. The Shach quotes in the Bach that the Isurim apply to lying on the bed, not just to sitting on, or not to sitting on the bed. That's a machlokas between the Shach and the Taz. Now, the Rashba and the Ravid have a machlokas over here. The Ravid assumes that the reason why I'm not supposed to sit on my wife's bed is that this is not Medina de Gemara at all. His Lashon in the Bali HaNefesh, this is not something that's Medina. Rather, it's something Shahadas Machras Aleihem. It's something that logic indicates you shouldn't do this. It will lead to Hirhor, you'll think about your wife, you're sitting on her bed. Therefore, logic says you shouldn't do it. The Rashba, however, says it differently. The Rashba says that the reason why you shouldn't sit on your wife's bed is it's a Kal V'chomer from Hatzas Hamita B'fanav. One of the Harchakos is I shouldn't make her bed while she's present. She shouldn't make my bed while I'm present. Right? So if I can't make the bed, Koshigin shouldn't sit on the bed. There's a discussion, by the way, that Bizman Hazeh, maybe the Harchak of making beds doesn't apply anymore, because today making beds isn't like a lovey-dovey activity. It's just a way of straightening out the house. Yeah, and the room looks nicer. So Reb Feivel Cohen entertains and rejects this idea. He says that even though it's just to straighten out the house, it still is usser. Rabbi Forst in the footnote is more inclined that maybe you could be mek on this, although he also doesn't go all the way to say that it's permitted. But the fact is, the Rashba is saying that the reason I should not sit on the bed is as a Kal V'chomer, that if I can't make the bed, I shouldn't sit on the bed. That means that according to the Rashba, the Isser is only to sit on the bed when she's present. Right? If it's a Kal V'chomer from Asas Amita B'fanav, the Isser is only when she's present. And this is how the Chochmas Adam paskins. The Chochmas Adam paskins based on the Tziruf, a combination of these two ideas, that you're allowed to sit on her bed when she is not present. Right, because of a combination of the Shach, who permits sitting all the time, with this Rashba, who assumes that the whole Isser is only when it is present. Generally speaking, we're more machmir for you to sit on her bed than for her to sit on your bed. And this is because the Tshuvas of the Atzei Beroshem, I think that's Reb Shlomo Vilna, in his Tshuvas, he says that this Harchak of not sitting on a bed is based on is a carryover from the Halachos of Tumah and Tahara. Remember, Nida, the time of the Torah, was relevant for Tumah. And the Torah says that a Nida, the Mishkav and the Moshav of a Nida, is going to be Tameh. So therefore, her bed has Tumah. And the one vestige of Tumah, of her bed, is that you don't sit on her bed when she's a Nida. That's the Tshuvas HaGaonim that is quoted by the Balei HaNefesh. And it's based on the side. For this reason, the Balei HaNefesh is Mekel the Baidam Basulim. Right, after the first Bia, you're allowed to sit on the bed. He says, because that has absolutely nothing to do with Tumah and Tahara. That's not a din of Nida at all for Tumah and Tahara. So therefore, in terms of that, you can be Mekel. There are many more dinim that we could have covered, but as anyone who has ever come to my shiurim realizes, I'm not exactly the best time manager, and I planned on saying a lot more, but I just thank you for coming and for listening, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us fulfill all the dinim to the best of our ability. Thank you very much.